Welcome to The Appleseed, the storytelling podcast from BYU Radio, where your family can gather for great stories from great storytellers in every episode. Stories bring us together, and we hope the stories on the show will spark memories and thoughts that you can share with the people you love. I'm your host, Sam Payne. You know, there are folk tales and fairy tales that we love to hear every time they're told, even if we've heard them 1,000 times. The Three Little Pigs, Little Red Riding Hood, Rapunzel, those stories keep delighting us and will delight our kids and their kids as long as they're told. But there's also some fun to be had for a storyteller in adding a twist or two to an old tale to make it all their own, and even to say something new, to make an old story speak to a new time. Sometimes we call that fracturing a fairy tale. And we got a couple of fractured fairy tales for you today. This first one is told for you by the Bay Area storyteller Willie Claflin, or rather by his puppet storytelling companion, Maynard Moose. Maynard Moose has been delighting storytelling audiences young and old across the country for decades. And you may see details at the heart of this story that remind you of the old Brothers Grimm story, Snow White and Rose Red, about two young girls and an ungrateful, magical villain. But Maynard's story has a different name. He calls it So What and Drop Dead. We think you'll get a kick out of it. Here's Maynard Moose on the Appleseed.
Well, I grew up on fairy and folk tales, and it was really fun to hear the Moose versions of the same stories. And so I'm going to have Maynard tell one more traditional Moose tale. This is the story of So What and Drop Dead. Once upon a time, there were cute, sweet little girls named Snow White and Rose Red. And they lived in a little cottage in the forest with their mummy. And every day they would say please and thank you. And they would say good morning to all the little birds of cheerfulness. A yellow bird of cheerfulness came to their window every day and said, Snow White, Rose Red, time to get up out of bed. And they always smiled, and they all said please and thank you, and they all served tea to their mummy. They smiled so much, it'd make their faces hurt. They were so good, it gave them bad headaches. They suffer from too much goodness. Well, one morning, dum-de-dum, they were walking in the forest, saying good morning to all the cute little furry forest animals, when what should they spy? A little nastified, pointified, dwarfy, bearded man, and he got his beard snaggled up in a bramble bush. Stupid bush, I hate you, yelled the dwarfy man. Well, Snow White and Rose Red had never seen a little nastified, uglified, dwarfy person yelling at a bush before. They begin to giggle. What are you laughing at, you obnoxious, despicable, dog-breath, worm-brained girls? Help me! Well, then they begin to giggle even more. They have never heard rude language before. You set me free right now, you obnoxious girls. Well, only thing they can think to do to set him free is to cut off the end of his beard. But is he grateful? No. You wreck my beard. You do that again, I put a spell on you. Well, they go home to their mummy. Mummy? What does obnoxious, despicable, dog-breath, worm-brain mean? Girl, say to mommy, I don't know where you heard language like that, but I forbid you to speak that way in my house. Okay, say Snow White. Okay, say Rose Red. But that night, after they're in bed, Snow White say, Hey, Rose Red, let's go find the little dwarfy man tomorrow and learn more rude language. So off they went into the forest in search of rude words and rude language. And after a while, they come upon the little nastified dwarfy man, and this time, a great big fish is going to pull him into the pond and drownify him. His beard is snaggled up in a fishing line. Help, help, obnoxious, despicable, dog-breath, worm-brain girls, help! Well, once again, there's no way to rescue him except to cut off the end of his beard. You wreck my... I warned you, Snow White and Rose Red. I warned you not to wreck my beard. I put a spell on you. I change your name from Snow White and Rose Red into so what and drop dead. Furthermore, that is all you will ever be able to say again. Well, I don't know what's going to happen now. Go home to their mummy. Hello, girls. So nice to see your shining faces. I have your favorite dinner, rainbow trout and wild blueberry muffins. So what? Said So What. Yeah, drop dead, said Drop. It was all I could say. The dwarfy spell was on their brains. Girl, say to mommy, you say that one more time, I will become extremely angrified. So what? Said So What. He'll drop dead, said Drop dead. Well, the dwarfy spell, it spread to the brain of the mommy. Oh, shut up, said the mommy. Things were not very nice in that house no more. Little furry, farfed animals, all they can hear is, so what, drop dead, shut up. They put their little paws over their ears and ran away. The yellow bird of cheerfulness was so freaked out, she flew straight into a tree, bonk. Well, what are they supposed to do, though, you know? Anyway, one day they were walking through the woods. It was a cold day in winter, beginning to snow. And they find a little nastified, dwarfy, bearded man again. But he runned away before they could speak to him. And that night, as the weather grew colder and colder and the storm got worser and worser, there was a knock upon the door. Boom, boom. Girl, say to mommy, go see who's at the door on this cold and freezing wintry night. Some poor stranger probably about to freeze to death. So what? Said So What. Drop dead, said Drop dead. Shut up, said the mommy. And went to the door, and there in the doorway, there in the doorway, was a ginormous grizzly bear. Help, help, said the grizzly bear. Help, help, help. Help, help, I'm so cold I'm about to freeze to death. Please let me warm my paws by your fire. So what? Said So What. Yeah, drop dead. The girl, say to mommy, Mr. Bear Perfin, you come right over to the fireplace and warm your paws until you are nice and toastly warm. Oh, thank you, good woman, said the bear. And he went to the fireplace and warmed his paws until he was nice and toastly warm. Oh, thank you, good woman, he said. Out there I would have froze to death. So what? Said So What. Drop dead, said Drop dead. Do you know what happened? The bear dropped dead. Boom. The bear dropped dead. And all of a sudden, well, he looked like a large bear rug. You see what you've done with your bad language? Say to mommy. Now we have a dead bear in our living room. But no sooner did the bear drop dead than poof, he disappeared. And there is a kingly king with a crown. Oh, thank you, rude girl, say the king. I was turned into a bear by the little nastified dwarfy man. I could not break the spell until I found the two rudest girls in the universe. You have broken the spell and set me free. And now, I can make your mommy the queen. Oh boy, said the mommy. I always wanted to be a queen. So what? Said So What. Drop dead, said Drop dead. Now they are the king and queen, okay? They don't got to put up with that stuff. They issue a royal proclamation. No more saying so what and drop dead within the confines of the royal realm or various harsh and unusual punishments are sure to follow. Well, they're the king and queen. They issue a royal edict. Well, what are they supposed to do with the dwarfy spell? Well, springtime come and the weather get warm. They walking through the forest. All of a sudden, guess who they spy? The little nastified dwarfy bearded person would be the correct response at this juncture of the narrative. And there he was, a great big giant crow going to carry him away. Help, help, obnoxious, despicable, dog breath, worm grain girls, I don't want to die. So what? Said So What. Yeah, drop dead, said Drop dead. No, 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 said the dwarfy man. Please, please, I take back the spell. You can have your real names back and any reward you would like. Okay, say Snow White. I want to be Snow White again, thank you. And I want to be a princess and live in a tall, tall tower with wigs and gowns and jewels and chandeliers. Not me, said Drop Dead. I kind of like this name. I'm going to be a dwarf, and I'm going to marry you, you dwarfy person. I'll marry you and learn more rude language. And so they were married the very next day in a despicable dwarfy ceremony. Do you drop dead, take this despicable worm brain, dog breath dwarfy person to be your partner for worther and worther and worther and worther and worther? I do, said drop dead. And they lived happily for never afterward. But I have to explain one last thing, okay? The yellow bird of cheerfulness did not come to their window. No, the buzzard of rude language came to their window, and he teach them a new rude word every day. Thank you.
That was Willie Claflin with So What and Drop Dead. It's a blast to hear Maynard Moose tell fairy tales, but he's fun to watch, too. If you're listening to the audio version of The Appleseed, you might want to visit us on YouTube, Spotify, or BYUradio.org and watch Maynard do the telling. It's pretty fun. I'll tell you, listening to Maynard Moose, it's easy to mistake a Maynard Moose story for just good, silly fun. Maynard's fractured fairy tales, though, often fill me with thoughts worth taking seriously. And this story makes me think about the words we use when we're talking to one another or writing to one another. Through the magic in Maynard's story, So What and Drop Dead could only use one rather unfortunate rude phrase apiece. But a lot of us who can use any words or phrases we like still resort to a few rude, bitter, confrontational, or even just careless words and phrases to say some of the things we want to say. Sometimes we're that way with strangers, and sometimes we're even that way with the people we love. You know, before my wife and I were married, when we were just sweethearts, we had a conversation in which one or the other of us said something careless and hurt the other's feelings. And as we were working it out between us, I said something about the things I had said, something like, I know what I said, but what I meant was this. And she listened patiently while I explained more carefully what I may have meant by what I said. And when I was done, she told me something very simple, but it comes back to me all the time. She said, remember that when we're having a conversation, all I have are your words. Again, that's pretty simple, but I think about it a lot. The words we say and the tone in which we say them. It's worth taking care with those things. When I require the person I'm talking with to see through the carelessness of the words I choose to something better I may have meant, well, that feels a little like asking them to do the work that maybe I ought to be doing myself. So what a wonderful thing that, unlike So What and Drop Dead, so many of us have all the words in the world to choose from. It's exciting. And that's where Maynard's story took me. Where did it take you? And who will you take along? Our next story is from Kim Whitecamp. She's also fractured an old tale, but in such a way that looks in an interesting way at everyday challenges that you may have faced yourself. Challenges like moving to a new place, or feeling lonely, or the difficulty of making new friends. And you'll see a story you know down at the heart of this tale, but Kim's version is called Jack and the Jelly Beanstalk. Here's Kim.
Once there was a boy named Jack, and he was not happy. Now, in a story for a different time, I'll tell you about it, but Jack did not have a father. He just had a mother. It was just Jack and his mama. And they had a move, and that is why Jack was not happy. His mama could not keep the house they had. It was a little too large, and the cost too much. And it was hard to find work where they lived, and so they had to move to another town, so small it was almost like a village, into a much smaller place, and Jack was not happy. One, he had to leave his school that he loved. He loved the teachers, and his best friends were there. Two, he saw the house where they were moving to, and he hated it because his bedroom could only have a bed, teeny bed, and a dresser. And now, that's where they had to go. When they got into their new house, all he did was mope around. He didn't leave the house for 2 days, and finally his mama said, Jack, I want you to go outside, find some kids and play. And he said, Mama, I don't feel like it. And she said, I didn't ask you to. I told you to. Well, Jack was a good boy, and so outside he went, kicking a stone in front of him every few feet, moping around angry. I can't believe I had to move. I miss my friends. I want my house back. I don't like my bedroom. And he looked around and thought, there aren't even any kids here. Now it's even worse. There's no kids here at all. He kept kicking the stone around a little tiny fountain. He kicked it to the end of that little village, and then he heard it. He heard the sound of children laughing, and he looked down into a field, and there they were, running and playing and kicking a big red ball. And Jack looked down. He saw his worn shoes, his shirt with holes, and he thought, these kids aren't going to want to play with me. I'm new. They don't like me. I'm sure of it. They don't know me. They don't know my name, and I know they're going to make fun of me. And as he was standing there thinking that, he heard, hey, what's your name? He looked up and there was a kid with a big red ball underneath his arm. And Jack looked at him and he said, me? And the kid's like, yeah, you. He said, what's your name? He's like, my name's Jack. And he's like, well, come on and play with us. And Jack said, really? And he said, yes, come on. Well, Jack followed him into the field. He was so happy. Kids were kicking the ball to him and he made a goal and they were running and sweating and laughing and playing when all of a sudden, boom, 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 boom. Boom, 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 boom. The whole ground began to shake and every kid froze. And then, boom, 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 boom. They all ran to their houses, ran inside, shut, locked the doors, locked the windows. Every one of them except for Jack. Jack stood there frozen to the spot. He didn't know what was going on. Every time the sound, boom, 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 hit, the ground shook and vibrated all the way through Jack's body. And then he saw it. Coming out from around the mountains, the ugliest, meanest looking giant he had ever seen. Long, stringy hair, a toothless smile, and the few teeth remaining with green moss growing on them. His arms so long, his knuckles so big and hairy that they dragged in the dirt, kicking up stone and rocks. His feet were in shoes that the front parts were missing, and his toes, big and hairy and long, were sticking out. His shirt was stained upon stain. Long green boogers hung out of his nose. And then Jack saw his pocket begin to move, and he watched as a spider climbed up the giant's neck, through his nasty beard, into his mouth, and eat off of the teeth and climb back into his pocket. That giant, boom, 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 got closer, boom, 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 to Jack until he was right, poof, in front of Jack. Dust rose up as the giant came to a stop, and Jack looked up at the giant, scared to death, and the giant looked down and said, fee, fi, ho, hum. Jack said, excuse me. And the giant said, fee, fi, ho, hum. And that's when Jack really looked at him. He looked past the toes out the shoes, past the pants with holes, past the stains upon stains, past the teeth, and into the eyes. He really looked and he saw that that giant wasn't mean. He was sad. And he said, Mr. Giant, I think you have it wrong. I think it's fee-fi-fo-fum, not fee-fi-ho-hum, but I have a feeling that maybe you're very sad. The giant said, yes, I'm sad, and you'd be sad too. Every day I come out here to play with the kids, and before I even get here, they take off. They're scared of me, and so I have nobody to play with. And he said, and at the end of the day, I'm tired, and you have beds and chairs. I don't have a bed or a chair big enough to hold me, so I have to sit on mountains, and mountains are very pointy. He said, every day my bum hurts. And then I am so tall that my head is in the clouds, which is actually a prerequisite for being a storyteller. But in the case of the giant, he said, my head is in the clouds, and clouds are made of water. And he said, so every day is a bad hair day. He said, you'd be sad too. Fee, fi, ho, hum. Well, Jack, he remembered. It was only an hour ago that he stood on that very hill, alone, thinking that nobody would want to play with him, thinking someone was going to make fun of him for the way that he looked and his clothing and his heart. What was broken up on that hill was mended so quickly when the kids asked him to play, so he knew that all he had to do was be a friend of the giant. He said, "Listen, Mr. Giant, I want to be your friend." "Oh, boy, you best not be trying to make a fool out of me." "I'm not trying to make a fool out of you, I promise." He said, "You best not, boy, because nobody makes a fool out of me." And then Jack said, "I'm not making a fool of you." He said, "Listen, tomorrow, same time, same place, you be here, and I'm going to bring you a present." "Oh, boy, you best not be trying to make a fool out of me." And he said, "I'm not, I promise." He said, "I'm going to bring you a present because I want to be your friend." The giant turned around, boom, 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 and walked back around the mountains, and Jack ran home. He ran through the little village around the fountain, went in the front door, and his mama said, "Well, did you find some friends to play with?" And he said, "Yes." He said, "I found a bunch of kids to play with." And he said, "I made a really good best friend." And she said, "You did?" He goes, "Yeah." And she said, "What is he like?" And he said, "Really big." Well, Jack had dinner with his mama, helped her clean up, and went to bed. And as he was headed to bed, he said, "Mama, tomorrow I'm going to go to the market." She said, "Oh, what for?" He said, "Well, I have 2 pennies, and I want to buy a gift for my new friend." She said, "Now, Jack, you don't have to buy a gift for someone to be your friend." He said, "I know that, but they're having a tough time, and I actually understand what they're going through, Mama." She bucked up a little bit proud and said, "That's sweet, boy. Okay, but I want you to do something for me. Since you're going to market, I want you to take the cow, milk the cow, sell the milk, and bring the money back to me because you need new shoes, and I need to buy some cloth, and I need to buy some things to fill the pantry." Jack said, "Yes, ma'am." The next morning, he got up, he ate his breakfast, and then he took off. 2 pennies in his pocket, he went out, took the rope off of the fence post, and he called the cow. Do you know how to call a cow? The count of three, call a cow. 1, 2, 3. You're so creative. Sure enough, he called the cow just like that. "You're brilliant." And that cow came walking over, the bell on its neck going ding-a-ling-a-ling. Jack roped up the cow, put the rope over his shoulder, and he began to walk. And as he walked towards town, the cow behind him, the bell going ding-a-ling-a-ling, Jack looked off to the side, and there was a man, a crumpled figure in a hooded cloak, sitting in the dirt. Jack walked over with the cow, and he touched the man's shoulder, and he said, "Are you okay?" When the old man looked up, the hood fell back, and he saw who it was. It was the bread man. Let me explain. When Jack and his mama moved to that little village, there was a knock on the door. His mama opened it, and there was a man standing there, an old man with a hooded cloak, and he had fresh bread and asked if she wanted to buy it. She sighed and dropped her head and said, "Well, we'd sure love some bread, but I'm sorry. We don't have the money for that." And that old man twisted off the heel of the bread and gave it to her, and every day came back with a heel of bread and said, "Someday you'll be able to repay me." It was that man. Jack said, "Mr. Breadman, what are you doing sitting in the dirt?" Well, the old man looked at Jack, and his hand was trembling, and he said, "I'm trying to get to market, Jack, but I'm tired." Jack said, "Not a problem. I have a cow. You can ride the cow. I'm going to the market, and then you don't have to walk." He helped the old man up, gave him a hoist up onto that cow. The old man held onto the rope as Jack led the cow and the man with the bell going ding-a-ling-a-ling into the market. When they got there, he helped the old man down and he said, "Thanks, Mr. Breadman. Have a good day." And before he could turn, the breadman reached out and grabbed Jack's arm and pulled him back. Jack said, "What do you need?" The old man shakily reached into his pocket and pulled out 3 magic jelly beans. He said, "Put your hand out, boy." Jack put his hand out, and the man dropped a red, green, and purple jelly bean into his hand and closed his fingers around it. And he said, "Now listen, those are magic jelly beans. And if you plant them, something good is going to happen." And the old man shuffled away. Jack looked at those 3 jelly beans and thought, "Man, I'm saving those for later." Anything with sugar was something that he rarely got. And so he put them in his pocket, and he thought, "That silly old man, magic beans." And he went about milking the cow. He borrowed a stool from a farmer, sat down, and he milked the cow, put the milk in the bucket, sold the milk, put the money in his pocket. Milked the cow, put the milk in the bucket, sold the milk, put the money in his pocket. Milked the cow, put the milk in the bucket, sell the milk, put the money in his pocket. Milked the cow, put the milk in the bucket, sell the milk, put the money in the pocket. And when he was done, he had a whole wad of cash. The cow was drained dry. He hooked him back up to the rope, and off home they went. He put the rope on the fence and let the cow go into the field. And he went inside and his mama said, "Jack, how'd it go?" And he said, "Mama, it went great." He reached in his pocket, pulled out that roll of money and handed it to her. And she said, "You're going to sleep good. There is no better pillow than a day of hard work." She went through the money and counted it and said, "Oh, Jack, you're going to be able to get shoes, new. I'm going to be able to buy some nice cloth and some staples for the pantry." She said, "Now show me what you got." And he said, "What do you mean?" She said, "Show me what you got, the gift for your friend." He goes, "Oh, Mama, I forgot. Mama, I forgot." And he said, "I don't know what I'm going to do." And then he felt the jelly beans. He said, "Mama, I'll be right back." He ran through that village. He went out onto the edge of that field, went down into the field, and he yelled, "Mr. Giant!" Nothing. "Mr. Giant!" Boom, 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 boom. The ground began to shake, and the giant came out from around the mountain, knuckles dragging, boogers hanging, spiders moving, his beard flowing in the wind as he walked with speed, the whole ground shaking, almost cracking as he landed in front of Jack and said, "Boy, I was here, and you weren't, and I know you were trying to make a fool out of me." And Jack said, "No, I had to go to the market. My mama needed me to get the cow milked and sell it so we could have some money." And he said, "I did bring you a present, though." The giant said, "You did?" Jack pulled out the jelly beans, picked out a green one, and said, "Watch this." He dug a hole, hoping this was the right thing to do, put it in, covered it up, and said, "Watch this now. Hang on." Nothing. "Oh, boy, I knew you were trying to make a fool out of me. And ain't nobody make a fool out of me." And Jack said, no, wait a minute. "Green's like the nastiest one. Let me get the red. Everybody loves the red." He reached in his pocket, pulled out the red, and he said, "Watch." He made another hole, dropped it in right beside the other hole, patted it down, and he stood there. Nothing. A giant raised his fist and said, "Nobody makes a fool out of me." And there was a large gray cloud and he poked it with his finger. And when he did, water came down, splashed on the dry earth, soaked into the ground. And the whole ground began to split until poof, whoo, it parted. And a huge beanstalk went past Jack, past the giant, until it reached into the skies to where you couldn't even see where it ended. The giant looked at Jack. Jack looked at the giant. They were both amazed, and then they heard it. Pop, 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 pop. Pop, 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 pop. All over the beanstalk, jelly beans began to appear. There was vanilla jelly beans, licorice jelly beans, blueberry and vanilla. There was soda-flavored root beers, Dr. Peppers. There was dog vomit flavor. The giant smiled, reached up, and he pulled a jelly bean off of that stalk. And in his hand, it was about the size of a small baseball. When he pulled it off, shook, 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 shook. The beanstalk shook, and he held it in front of him. It was green with a glowing red middle, and he took a bite. And looked at Jack and said, "Watermelon." Then he picked a pink one, shook, 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 shook. And he said, "Boy, do you want a jelly bean?" Jack said, "Oh, you know I do." That giant put the jelly bean into Jack's hands, and it was like a giant watermelon. It took two hands, and Jack, bubblegum. They ate jelly beans until they were full, and the most magical thing happened. Jack ran into town and he went to a small little art store, not a big box store, even though he paid more at the small art store, because the woman knew his name and all the tax money went back to that little village. He bought poster board and markers and made signs, "Free jelly beans, go see the giant." He put them all around town. And the next day when he went into the field, there was the giant by the jelly bean stalk. People were dancing and singing and eating jelly beans after jelly beans after jelly beans. And the giant would take his big hand, put it on the ground. Children would sit in it and he'd lift them into the leaves of the jelly bean stalk. Jack stood there and said, Is this the best gift you ever got in your life, Mr. Giant?" The giant looked at Jack and he came down and he said, "Boy, this is a sweet gift, but the sweetest gift I ever received was your friendship." Now, Jack went home that day, and as he did, he walked past the field and he saw the cow and he thought, well, you know what? If it wasn't for that cow, I couldn't have gave the old man a ride. If I couldn't have gave the old man a ride, I wouldn't have got the jelly beans. If I wouldn't have got the jelly beans, I wouldn't have had a gift for the giant. Things could have ended very differently. So he walked over, digged in his pocket, and pulled out that last jelly bean. What color was it? Good job, Rory. Purple. He flicked it into the field. The cow came over and with its big pink lips, picked it up and chewed it. Now, when you feed a jelly bean to a cow that is a magic jelly bean, things begin to happen. Jack went out the next day to milk that cow, and the milk going into the bucket was brown. He smelled it. What? Sipped it. Chocolate milk. The next day, he milked that cow, and it was strawberry milk. The next day, he milked it, it was vanilla milk. Every day, all different kinds of milks. So his mama started an organic, in-glass, flavored milk company. She used a craft paper with a nice eroded font, so it felt very farmy. And her and Jack never had to worry about money again. And the first person she paid was the bread man.
That was Kim Whitecamp with Jack and the Jelly Bean Stalk. Has a story ever helped you through a tough situation? Have you ever used the only words you could think of and they wound up being the wrong words? Has a giant of a problem ever worked out okay in the end for you? I bet you've got some stories. We hope you'll share them with the people you love. In fact, we hope you'll share the stories with us. We might share them on a show. You can tag us on social media or send us a message at theappleseed@byu.edu. We want to thank Willie Claflin and Kim Whitecamp for sharing their stories with us today. And of course, Maynard Moose as well. You've listened to their stories. Now it's time to share some of your own. Personal stories of faith from believers from all walks of life on the BYU Radio podcast, In Good Faith, with Stephen Cap Perry.